Secretary of Defense Robert Gates is in Afghanistan today, stressing that the U.S. is open to some long-term military presence, but still planning to shut down combat operations by 2014. Gates also apologized for the accidental deaths of 9 Afghan children who were killed by a NATO airstrike last week, President Karzai accepting that apology. But the deaths have underscored the difficulty the U.S. has had in winning the hearts and minds because of Afghan civilian deaths, but also because of the lack of U.S. civilian reservists to wage what then-Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld called a new kind of war, one in which U.S. soldiers would pave roads and erect power lines. In his new memoir, Rumsfeld said, he really doesn't believe in that kind of nation building. And that ambivalence may be why a new report says the Army's Civil Affairs and Psychological Operations Command not only lacks the civilian reservists needed to do the job, but hid that fact by keeping so-called ghost soldiers on the books. The report is from the Center for Public Integrity. Co-author Mark Benjamin joins us from the Christian Science Monitor studios in Washington. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And Mark, you put a face on this story right at the start, introducing us to a man named Lawrence Morrison, an Army Reserve Sergeant, part of this civil affairs effort. What happened?
This was a soldier who was pulled out of the civilian labor force, a postal worker, and because the Army was so desperate for civil affairs soldiers, particularly early in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, this is somebody who's trained as a medic in civilian life as a postal worker, trained as a medic, and was deployed quickly to Iraq to be a civil affairs soldier and died through a roadside bomb. And he was doing work he shouldn't have been doing.
What kind?
Well, civil affairs work is actually very complex stuff. You know, they're lawyers, they are agriculture experts, they're irrigation experts, they are police officers, that kind of thing. And what they do is interact with the civilians in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and help those countries rebuild after something like an invasion. You need precise sets of skills to do that kind of work. Not so much, a postal worker doesn't seem to really fit the bill, but it just shows, we used it as an example, to show how incredibly desperate the Army has been throughout the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan for these troops.
Well, and you mentioned that he died and he had told his now widow that he felt they didn't have the armor they needed. So as much as combat soldiers were having problems, it seems that the civil affairs reservists certainly didn't have the equipment they needed. And you point out that the civil affairs soldiers, again, these civilian reservists, are dying far out of proportion in their numbers. They make up just 5% of the Army's reserve forces, but more than 20% of the casualties among the reserves. And tell us more about this term ghost soldier, how the Army was sort of padding the books to make it look like there were more of these civil affairs soldiers.
Well, early in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, when the Army went to deploy civil affairs units, they pulled them out of the reserves, as you mentioned, and they figured out a lot of the soldiers that were on the books and listed as ready to go and fight, in fact, had not been trained in civil affairs and could not go. And what the Army did with a lot of units that were being deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan was they just cherry-picked from other units soldiers that were ready to be deployed, that were trained, and they threw together these units very, very quickly and deployed them to Iraq and Afghanistan. That's a dangerous practice because, in general, soldiers perform best in battle with the people they've trained with, and that violates that doctrine. And this is still going on today.
It's called cross-leveling. And as to these ghost soldiers, you write there might be 1,000 or more on the books. And we know this, by the way, because high-ranking brass in the Army was noticing this and making notations on unit rosters. You know, there's something wrong here, noting that there might be names on the roster, but those people were not qualified to go. And tell us more about what appears to be huge disconnect inside the military. People knew this was a problem, and yet nothing was done about it. And then, as we mentioned, we had this sort of ambivalence that we heard from the then Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld.
The Army doesn't really see its mission as building schools and putting in irrigation systems and setting up judicial systems. You know, Rumsfeld sort of reflected that. And so what that has meant over the past 10 years is that civil affairs has basically been neglected. And to give you an idea of how neglected, we are 10 years into these wars. There are only 8,000 civil affairs soldiers in the entire U.S. Army, and there are 1.1 million soldiers in the reserve and active forces. It's only grown about a third, in fact, over the past 10 years. What the Army does is that they like to buy helicopters and they like to train infantry troops, but the people that really can win hearts and minds, which is what we're supposed to be in Iraq and Afghanistan, have gotten short shrift throughout.
And yet, why is that? Because this isn't new. This isn't some sort of new age kind of thinking. You remind us the civil affairs units have figured in all U.S. military campaigns since the Revolutionary War. After World War II, they were prominent in stabilizing and reconstructing post-war Europe and Japan. And the planning for this started right after the U.S. entered the war in 1942. And it sounds as if in 2001, you know, Donald Rumsfeld was saying, we are going to be a different kind of war. We're going to have this kind of helping people rebuild, sort of flagging that before even, you know, going into Iraq. And yet there was no follow through on it.
Donald Rumsfeld talked the talk with respect to winning hearts and minds, but he didn't really walk the walk. And here's an example. For years, the civil affairs soldiers reported to what's called the Special Operations Command. It's a very elite command in the U.S. Army. Donald Rumsfeld didn't like that. He wanted Special Operations Command to be involved in hunting down and shooting terrorists and bad people. And so what he did was he kicked civil affairs mostly out of special operations. He just said, you know, sort of these weren't elite enough. And I think what that reflects is this overall feeling in the Army, even though a lot of soldiers and particularly officers won't admit it, that civil affairs isn't really what they do. What they do is drive tanks and fly helicopters and take ground and hold it. They don't go around setting up judicial systems, even though, the great irony, that's the only path to success that generals say we have in places like Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, and aren't these the troops that will presumably stay on in both those countries after combat troops draw down? There's not a lot of time before these planned drawdowns. What's going to happen? Do you think what's going to change?
Defense Secretary Robert Gates says that he now understands the importance of civil affairs and is going to build up the number of civil affairs troops. Critics would argue that it's too little too late. These guys are deployed almost continuously. To give you an idea of what it's like to be a civil affairs soldier, the military tries to only deploy reserve forces like these soldiers about once every 4 or 5 years. Civil affairs units go out the door to Iraq and Afghanistan every 20 months. Hmm. And because there's so much cross-leveling, which is this practice of just slapping together a unit by grabbing soldiers from various units just to get one civil affairs unit ready to go, an individual civil affairs soldier is deployed much more frequently than every 20 months. You know, every 6 months, every 10 months, they're going back to war and back to war, and they are incredibly fatigued and bearing an incredible burden.
That's Mark Benjamin, co-author of the report Ghost Soldiers. It was put out by the Center for Public Integrity. For more, go to herenow.org. Mark, thank you.
Thank you for having me.